Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hemmerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
Last Corner by Sunset by Janine Nicole. An ex-con caught in the sticky web of her past. A mega-church pastor on a mission to aid her. And the ever-winding path to redemption. Heiress Rhea Moscone was convicted of orchestrating a Robin Hood scam and paroled early. Now that she's been released, she's determined to turn her life around. It's a quest snagged by murder, however, when the wealthy people who testified against her start turning up dead. Someone is after the former witnesses in her trial, but why? Rhea can't say. She only knows they must be warned. But who's going to listen to someone who drained their finances? Will the police ever see that she is innocent and had nothing to do with the murders? Will the public ever forgive her past? Rhea's on a treacherous road, a winding path that swings her life into danger and mystery. But with help from Ethan Rain, the handsome parole counselor and mega church pastor, she just might find her way to the new beginning she craves.
On this episode of The Romantic Side of Suspense, I'm chatting with Janine Nicole, who grew up in Harris County, Texas, where she daily cultivates her strong faith and relationship with God. So we're going to talk about her writing, and I'm delighted to have you on my show, Janine.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So let's talk about the romantic suspense genre. Why did you decide that this was the genre you wanted to write books in?
Because it's no lull. If things start getting tedious or boring in this genre, you can throw in a car chase or gunshots can ring out, and then you're off on another leg of your adventure.
That is so true. You know, I mean, I love reading, you know, straight romance, and I do read, a wide variety of books. But sometimes, if I'm not reading a book that has any kind of danger or mystery, I'm always like, okay, what? Come on. Really? You people just work it out. Where's the danger? Yeah, so yeah, I do love having that in my books as well. So, and I love this question, and I get this a lot from readers, and you probably do too, Janine. Where do you get your inspiration for your plots?
Everywhere. Once you have a base idea and start asking what if or how, the ideas begin flowing together. Sometimes they can get a little far-fetched and unrealistic, though, but I have people to kind of rein me back into reality, or as close to it as fiction allows.
Yeah, can you do you have an example of some of your, you know, outlandish ideas there that you care to share? Because I can't help but ask.
That is an excellent question.
and of course, I understand it can be hard. Yeah, I mean, I think that's where the research comes in, right? And we realize, well, as much as we would like that to happen, it probably really couldn't happen. So. Maybe that's a helpful part of it. Your creative process as well.
Yes, definitely. That is definitely where research comes in. And you know, us writers, we can spend hours researching.
Yes, that is so true. One of the reasons I don't write historicals, because I love history, and I would just find way too many rabbit trails. Oh, that's interesting. And before I know it, I wasted all my time with research. And I know some historical writers really love that part, but they can kind of rein it in. I just wouldn't be able to. So contemporaries for me, please. I have enough rabbit trails with that. So let's talk about, what is essential for you to write? Do you need a quiet space? Do you need a certain beverage? What do you need for your perfect writing space? or time?
A good idea. If I have a good idea, I can just everything else just flows.
Ah, yeah. A good idea is important to get us started. If we don't have a good idea, we are really struggling. I prefer quiet to write, although I can write with a little background noise. My office is downstairs in our lower level, and my boys have their, I have teen boys, and they have their computers in our, like, rec room, and which is kind of around the corner, and sometimes they get really loud on their video games talking to their friends on Discord and all that kind of stuff, so I have to close my door because they get a little too loud, and I hear them they're banging on their keyboard and stuff. I'm like, no, I want a little, I don't have to have it totally quiet, but a little quiet is very helpful to me. What do you find the most frustrating thing about writing romantic suspense?
I'd say rewrites, edits, and making it feasible, because readers want realism, and even in the most far-fetched scenarios, especially if they are going to stay in the world of the story. So, I mean, if you're going to have a character lose three toes after an encounter with bubblegum, you have to figure out how on earth it could logically happen. If not, you'll lose the reader. They'll stop reading. And pretty much declare your book is ridiculous. And that's something no author wants.
Yes, that is so true. And sometimes, I think you probably have found this to be true, sometimes things are true, but I've had some beta readers read someone and go, well, I didn't really believe this part. I'm like, yeah, but that part is the most accurate in my whole book. But they didn't believe it because of whatever TV or whatever they thought. So sometimes you have to tweak some stuff a little bit to make it, you know, or add a little explanation so that they know, yeah, this really happens in this particular way. Yeah, which is, I think, is skinny. But, those edits can be frustrating. What about rewarding? What do you find rewarding about writing romantic suspense?
I'd say seeing reader reactions and hearing what they were able to glean from my stories. It's usually different with every person.
Yeah, I love hearing what they take away. And I do read reviews. I know a lot of authors don't, but I tend to at least skim them sometimes, especially, you know, when the book first comes out, because I'm like, did they get it? Do they understand what I was trying to do? Do they like me? I like to see what resonates with them, because that can be encouraging to us as a writers. So what is one of your favorite ways to connect with readers?
I'd say in the story itself, because when they read them, it's like we're together on a journey through a whole other world, and I get to be the tour guide.
Ah, I love that, tour guide. That's a good way to put it. Yeah, do you connect with them any other ways, newsletters, Facebook, social media, that kind of thing as well?
I'm still a new author, so I'm still kind of navigating the best ways to connect.
Yeah, it can be tricky to build that rapport. So what do readers ask you when they do meet you? What are some of the questions that you get?
Usually the reason for the title, Last Corner by Sunset. And not to give anything away or encourage readers to skip ahead, but I like to think that the last two paragraphs of the book explain the title pretty well.
Ah, okay. So you get a lot of title questions. Anything else that they generally ask?
Sometimes they'll ask what romantic suspense is.
Yeah, okay, well, that's a great question. And what do you say? Because I love hearing how people describe the genre.
Usually I say it's a combination between, usually I tell them that it's equal parts romance and suspense.
Yeah, and then as Christian authors, you know, we get to add that third thread of faith into there, which I love working into that as well. Yeah, I describe it as my hero and heroine fall in love while running for their lives. So people get it, they laugh. Your reaction is exactly the kind, if I say that to a, you know, an author, they all chuckle, but they get, they're like, they get it. They understand what they're going to get when they pick up my book, right? You know, I want them to know they're not in constant danger. I'm not like high octane, but they are in danger, and they are generally trying to avoid getting hurt or killed by the bad guys. So I think it's a fun way to describe it. I think I stole that from someone else, but oh well, you can't trademark it, so I can use it. Well, it has been a delight talking with you today, Janine. So thank you so much for being on my show.
Well, thank you for having me. I've loved talking with you as well.
You've been listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense. I've been talking with Janine Nicole. And stay tuned for a short excerpt from one of her romantic suspense books, Last Corner.
Now an excerpt from Last Corner by Sunset by Janine Nicole. Rhea Moscone pulled her shiny black sports car into the strip mall housing her accounting business, Moscone Horizons. Several rows of red and blue lights flashed from the hood of silent police cars. What are they doing? She circled several orange and white barriers, intermingling with them, and tried her best to see. Uniformed officers swarmed the building, clustering together and trailing in and out like ants. Only they weren't harvesting food. Instead, they left her office pushing all too familiar pale pink file cabinets on gurneys. Even her desk was not safe. She cringed, clenching her teeth as she witnessed the solid, intricately carved oak antique almost skid onto the sidewalk. The policemen not loading her heavier objects busied themselves rushing back and forth to their vehicles with oddly shaped white bags. Any other time she'd call the police, but who do you call when it's the law's hands that are clenched around your things? She lowered her head as the blow of what was happening sucked the breath from her chest. Deflated, she slunk below her steering wheel. So this is my reward for helping people. She could have cried, but there wasn't time. Somehow, in the chaos, her eyes drifted back to the rearview mirror and found Monica Jillerson, an older lady who loved floral dresses in springtime, staring at the action. Was her appointment today? No. Her ever-fogging brain let her recall that they were supposed to meet at a new local restaurant called Arpeggio's for lunch. She looked at the clock, 12:02 p.m. Their meeting was at 12:15, and she thought she'd make a quick stop by the office to pick up some of Monica's files. But why was Monica here, looking so completely different and healthy? She stood tall, without the semblance of her usual curving spine. Even the cane she so lovingly called her support system was missing from her hands. The surprises didn't stop there. From where Rhea sat, though she could not be sure, Monica also seemed to be tempting death by being without her oxygen machine. Rhea's throat began feeling like sand. In the time since she'd known Monica, the woman had convinced her of the illness and death of her husband, not to mention a recent fatal diagnosis of kidney, lung, and heart failure. Her medical woes had strapped her financially and the bills kept coming. Though it was risky, Rhea felt she had no other alternative than to do what she could to help. Over the course of their friendship, she held extensive meetings with Monica, where they went over itemized bills for countless surgeries, hospital stays, and other medical expenses. They sifted through an array of other overlapping bills Monica said she had forgotten about until her electricity was cut off and her car was confiscated along with other valuables. As was her common practice, Rhea financed 20% of Jillerson's expenses, but had to decide who to give the honor of financing the other 80%. It was difficult. She had a host of celebrity clients who spent their days taking selfies and drained the bulk of their money club hopping, vacationing, eating, and most of all, shopping. They turned purchasing into a sport. It wasn't uncommon for them to buy ridiculous things like $12,000 socks spun from the silk of spiders in Indonesia. From what she could tell, that was all when they weren't investing obscene amounts of money into becoming, at best, living mannequins, and at worst, plastic figurines. When she thought of poor Monica and others she knew who actually needed the money her clients wasted, she vowed over and over again to do all she could to pry it from their dirty little manicured hands. She was on a personal quest to deliver money to people out there who were, without a doubt, way more deserving of funds than most of her clients. If a few or more laws had to break in order for her to be charitable, then so be it. She just prayed she wouldn't get caught. In the days before she'd met Monica, Pepper Mills, a pop princess in the process of proving her maturity by slaying her good qualities, slithered into Rhea's office and became her client. She couldn't recall ever wanting to cancel an affiliation as much as she did the second Pepper's contract was signed. Yet she had to keep focused. Pepper was selling out arenas, and her albums topped every chart. Her contribution to the pool of money in Rhea's help fund was too great to lose. With Pepper's help, she was able to seek out many other worthy cases and stumbled into Monica while volunteering at a woman's shelter. It wasn't long before she gave Monica a few checks large enough to cover her husband's funeral expenses, get a car, and pay off some of her bills. Monica always smiled and gave her a hug whenever she saw her, but today no smile was brave enough to touch her lips. She seemed deep in thought as she distanced herself from the crowd of officers. Rhea pulled her car beside where Monica stood at the edge of the sidewalk and lowered her window. "Monica? What's going on? Why are you here with the police?" Her gut sank. Was she an informant? Monica glared at her until her eyes seemed to give way and rolled under the pressure. "There is no Monica, Rhea. My name is Detective Shannon, and you, my favorite little twisted financial advisor, are under arrest." She walked over to the passenger side window. "That means get out of the car." Rhea wasn't able to steady her trembling hands, but she did somehow manage to raise the window a bit and lock the doors before her newly revealed adversary tugged on the door handle. Sharp pain swirled inside her and her vision blurred. A rogue sunbeam struck something hanging from the detective's neck. Rhea's lower jaw went limp. It was a badge.
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerkerfiction.com.